Ben asked me where I was going to preach from. I said, Psalm 100. He said, what? I said, Psalm 100. And we had to spell it. I thought, I didn't know my accent was that off, but we had to spell it. So it is P-S-A-L-M. No, P-S-A-L-M, yeah. That's what it is. I don't even know if I can spell it. You know, when I went to North Carolina, almost, they're starting on 8 years now, but I went there, and when I went through the drive-thru, I had to repeat it 2 to 3 times every time. It took me a few times to realize it was my accent. I thought it was them. I thought they were hiring people who couldn't hear. But I finally realized it's me. And I've been down there going on 8 years, and I realized they're not having too much problem with it now. My accent must be changing a little bit. But anyway, Psalm 100, and that was a blessing, Kevin.
Yes.
The Lord blessed you.
Yes, it is.
I tell you how humbling it is. Me and David was saying something about this today, that God would use us, that God will use these clay pots. He has put this treasure of the gospel, in earthen vessels. That's humbling. And the older you get in preaching, the more humbling it is. You realize, and I said this to a pastor not long ago. We were talking, and we were just talking a little bit about young preachers, being younger preachers. At one time I was. And I said, one of the things that I had to learn, and I believe the Lord taught me this, and it was, I went to the preacher school there at Henry's back in 1980. But the number one thing I had to learn first, I couldn't preach. God taught me I couldn't do it. It doesn't matter how good the outline is. If God doesn't speak, you can't preach. You can't preach. We need Him. We depend on Him. I don't depend on my outline. Barner said one time, I've got my outline. I hope I don't have to use it. And I hope I don't have to use it. I hope the Lord is pleased to speak. I believe He spoke to us already. I believe the Lord spoke. And I hope He does again one more time tonight. If He does, we are at His mercy. We are always at the mercy of God. The title of this psalm, it's a psalm for the sheep. This is a psalm for the sheep, the Lord's people. It's for you. You know, the Bible overall is written to God's people. Paul said that these things, the Old Testament, the types and the pictures, were written as examples, for our examples. They're written for us. You know, we've been looking through the New Testament or Old Testament pictures and types. And we just looked at Rahab the harlot. And we looked at how the spies came to her house and how she lied and she hid them and then let them down from the window with a scarlet cord, strong one. Strong enough to let those men down by. And they said, you put this scarlet line in the window. And when we come, your house and everyone in the house will be saved. Now, if they go outside the house, that's not our problem. That's their problem. But if they stay in the house, they didn't even realize that the scriptures were being written and that God was giving an example to us. That's for us. That scarlet line coming down that window is Christ's blood. It's the atonement that He made by His blood. And they're there at that period of time, thousands of years ago, doing that. Did they realize that? Did Abraham and Isaac realize going up on the mountain that they were writing the scriptures? That's for us. These examples are, the whole Word of God is for us. We ought to eat this book. We ought to eat, drink, sleep this book. Now here in this psalm, we have a call to worship. We have a call to sing unto the Lord and to express our thankfulness. Kevin mentioned something about being thankful. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you. He's passed by some, but did not pass by me. I often think now, you know, there's people who've perished that's done less things than I've done. And yet God's had mercy on me. Something to be thankful for tonight. To be thankful. Of all the people on the earth, we have more reason to be thankful than anybody. We should be thankful whether we're having a good day or a bad day. Every day is God's day. He's given to us, and we ought to be thankful. In all things, give thanks. In all things. You have a heartache? Give thanks. You're rejoicing? Give thanks. Boy, if we can learn. We just need to learn that. That's when true worship happens, when we really say like Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank God. We thank Him for it. We have in Christ more than we can imagine. We cannot even begin to comprehend the blessings, the glory, the immeasurable riches we have, the durable riches we have in Jesus Christ. The second Bill Gates dies, or Warren Buffett dies, the second they die, they're penniless. The second we die, we enter into the full glory of those riches that we have in Jesus Christ. Those men, they've amassed fortunes, but the second they perish, they die, they perish, and they're penniless. Penniless. You're never going to see a U-Haul fall in a hearse. You ain't taking it with you. It's staying here. Boy, the older I get, the more I see the value of my relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one thing needful. That's the one thing. Christ is the one thing needful. He truly is. We have in Christ the unsearchable riches. We have in Christ a freedom that we never had or can have in anything else. Free from the curse of the law. You know the curse of the law is very real. You know God's law is very real. I know the world thinks nothing of God's law. We see that now, especially in our day and time. But God's law is very real, and the curse is very real. You know, nobody... No other curse is real. I don't care these voodoo curses, pin cushion, you know. Have at it. Just have a blast. You can throw all the voodoo curses you want, but there is one curse that's going to stick. That's the curse of the law. And Jesus Christ took that for a multitude of sinners that the Father gave Him. He took their curse. It fell on Him. And He has set His people free. At liberty. In liberty to worship. We have freedom to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're not going through a bunch of hocus pocus ceremonies here. We're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That's the only way God is worshiped. No other way. There's no other way. And we are to make a joyful noise on purpose. Not just make a noise, but a real joyful noise. You know, everyone whom I have seen the Lord saves are glad the Lord saved them. You ever seen anybody mad because God saved them? Now, I had a friend who said he wished God hadn't saved me. That he did. Because it separated our friendship. But I didn't go run with him no more. He didn't make me mad. It didn't make me mad. I thank God He saved me. many years ago, as a young person. There's no greater blessing than to be saved as a young person. And your life is lived out in service to God. I cannot express. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come not. I don't know what knucklehead said the old age is the golden years. That must have been somebody, just some philosophical nitwit that made it. Because old age is not, it's not the golden years. You know what Solomon called them? Before the evil days come. Then he describes the decline of the body. That's not golden. Those are evil days. And oh, that God save you, people, young men and women in their youth. In their youth. Oh, that's such a blessing. That's a priceless, priceless blessing to be saved in youth. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. A call goes out to all people in all nations. God has a people in every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation under heaven. Under heaven. And all of those people are to make a joyful noise. Make a joy. Are you glad God saved? Glad to hear the gospel. Glad to hear the glad tidings of the gospel. You know God's people are a thankful people. Show me someone that's unthankful and I'll show you someone's lost. They're lost. They don't know Christ. The love of God has not been shed abroad in the heart. They've never tasted that the Lord is gracious. I said, if a person does, they'll be thankful for the rest of their lives. They'll be thankful. They really are. Not as thankful as they ought to be. Nobody is. None of us are. We don't love Christ as we ought to love Him. But thank God He loves us with a perfect love, an everlasting love. You can wear ours out, but you can't wear His out. He knew everything about me before the creation of the world. I'll never do anything in my life that'll take Him by surprise. Every sin that I'll ever commit, if I live to be 90, they've already been taken care of. I won't do anything. You know, when David committed adultery, when he committed, then he had Uriah killed. Did that take God by surprise? You know what Nathan said? That God's already taken care of. I'm paraphrasing. He said, you're the man. God's put away your sin. Yeah. He did that before the foundation of the world. Christ is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God took care of my sins before creation. If not, there wouldn't be a reason to even create all this. You know, when the angels that fell, you know, there's a whole multitude of angels that are elect that didn't fall. God didn't let them fall. And there's a whole multitude of sinners that fell in Adam that God's going to save. And every last one of them are a bunch of rotten, no good sinners. They are. And so we have a reason to rejoice, and God's grace is far reaching. It's to all lands. It's to all lands. And it's to all people. All types of people. Rich, poor, educated, uneducated. It says in 1 Corinthians, now you see you're calling brethren. Not many wise men, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. That's me. That's me. There was a time I didn't realize how foolish I was, but I do now. The weak things of the world. There's a time I thought I was a strong young man. A little germ puts you in bed. A little germ take you out. You know what David said? Lord, teach me how frail I am, that I may apply my heart into wisdom. Teach me to number my days, not my years. People think they got years to live. You don't have years to live. It's days. It's moments. That's our life. You know, on a grave, go out to the next time you go out to the grave cemetery. Next time you go cemetery, look at the date on the tombstone. There's a date of birth, There's a date they die, and there's a dash. You know what that dash is? That's your life. That little old dash is your life. That's how short your life is. That's how short it is. You got a date of birth and a death, and you got a little old bitty life that was lived between them. Here's our attitude in verse 2. I got to move on here. Serve the Lord with gladness. You glad to be here? Are you glad to serve the Lord? You're His servants. I'm His servant. We're all whom God serves, we all serve Him. We know that. Satan serves the Lord. You know that? Someone said he's nothing more than a pit bull on chain. All things serve God. Everything serves His eternal purpose. But that we are His special servants. We are His servants. I'm not my own. Never have been my own. I've never been my own. I thought I was at one time, but I wasn't. I was a servant of darkness. I was a slave to sin, and I was a slave to lust and passion, and a slave to Satan. And then the Lord saved me, and I'm His servant. Servant of righteousness now. Thank God. Well, I'm glad to be His servant. We've never been our own, and we never will be. Never will be. But here's our attitude in worship. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with thanks, with singing. That's what we've been singing. And we come before His presence. He's real. You know, the Scripture says so many times in Psalms, to sing unto the Lord. It doesn't tell us to sing about Him. It says sing to Him. There's a difference when you're singing about somebody or you're singing to somebody. If you're singing to someone, they're real. They're before you, and you're standing there, and you're singing before them. And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. When we sing, let us sing to Him and not just about Him.
Right.
It's a big difference in the way we sing.
Yes, sir.
We sing to Him. Listen to this in Deuteronomy 28, 45, 47. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep His commandments and His statutes which He commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Listen. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. They murmured all through the wilderness. They complained every time they got. They complained about the manna. They had free groceries, and they complained about it. It wouldn't matter. You know, one thing I've learned about complainers, they're just complainers. And they always will be. You just put them in that quick category. They're just going to complain about everything. And he says here, he said, I'm going to bring these curses upon you because you didn't serve me with joyfulness and gladness of heart for all that I've given you. You've done nothing but complain. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. I've not met too many people who like their jobs. I really haven't. I've not met too many. I know one particular person comes to my mind. She was making $150,000 a year, and she was so upset. Just hated to go to work every day. Just complained about it. I thought, really? You want to switch? Well, I can take a lot for $150,000 a year. Complained. Oh. I've not met. You know, God put us where we are. God put me where I am, put you where you are, and we are serving Him in His vineyard. We are in the Lord's vineyard. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and they who dwell therein. Psalm 24:1. This is His, and we get to serve Him in it. And that's not even to mention what's coming. That's not to mention. You know, a lot of people get They get into the book of Revelation. They get hung up on Armageddon and the bark of the beast. And you know what I get? I get to the last chapter, last two chapters. There's going to be a new heaven, new earth, and there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying. I used to get stuck on that first few verses. You know, you want to know about the mark of the beast and all that. That doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is the end of the book. When I'm standing in glory on that new earth with a redeemed in glory and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, one we speak of every week, we get to see him. I think of my pastor, Henry. I think of him and others, Scott and Maurice and these men. I think of them. They're with him. I told David today we were talking. I said, Christ is our first aim. We want to see him and worship him and glorify him. I said, but I think I'm going to hug Henry and I'm going to say thank you. Thank you for telling me the truth. Thank you for being honest with me. Thank you. I think, at least that's the way I think right now. I don't know what it'd be like when it's over, but at least that's the way I think now. I'd love to just hug him and thank him. Thank him for telling me the truth. Thank the Lord for saving my soul. Thank you for giving me a pastor that was faithful to preach the gospel to me and to preach the gospel to me in love. To preach it to me in love. Scott Richardson gave us an example one time. He said, there's two ways you can feed chickens. You can take it and throw it at them, and then you watch them scatter. Or you can just lay it down. You can just lay it down and let them come and get it and feed. You preach it in love, or you can preach it harsh. Paul said, I preach the gospel to you in love. Preach it in love. The same love that Christ gave it to you. There's no greater honor than to spend one's life serving the Lord. Being his servant. I'm his bondslave. A willing bondslave. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. I don't want to go anywhere. I'm your servant. And come into his presence with singing. We're in his presence and we're glad to be here and we sing to him. And the worship that we give unto him is spiritually intelligent worship. We're not just throwing our hands up in the air and whoopee and, you know, a bunch of junk and then leave and don't even know what happened. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. You can't worship until you know this. I've told the congregation back home, I never feared God until I found out who he is. I never had a right fear of God. I never had a right fear of God till I learned that the Lord can save me or pass me by. He doesn't have to save you. Rolf Bonner said one time, he might save you and he might not. That's when you have a right fear of God. Is when he's on the throne and you're on your knees and you're not on the throne and him begging you to let him save you. Know ye that the Lord, he's God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You can't worship someone you don't know. Know ye that the Lord is God. True worship is worshiping God as he's revealed himself in his word. In his word. We do not have altars built to the unknown God in case one shows up that we haven't heard about. No, there's one God. There's one God. The Lord thy God is one God. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's got a name. The Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah Jesus. Here's some things that we know about him. If we're going to worship him, here's some things we know. First of all, that the Lord, that's capital L-O-R-D. That's the self-existing one. That's the one and only God. That the Lord is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. is God. He's God. I don't need a good man. I need the God man. I need one who's truly God. Here's a great, it was a great mystery to the disciples. But he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll understand these things. He said, I came forth from the Father. He came forth from the Father as God the Son. He said, and I go back to the Father here in John 16. I go back to the Father. He came forth as God the Son. He went back as a God man. He came forth as God, very God. He went back as a man. God did. God did. Hanging on that cross is God in human flesh. That's who hanging on that cross. That's why he can redeem us by his blood. We're redeemed by, you know what he says in Acts 20:28? You were purchased by the blood of God. The church was purchased by the blood of God. As God, he had no blood. As God, very God. But as the God-man, as he took upon himself flesh, now he's got blood to offer. There's the atonement. There it is. We know him as the creator. All things were made by him and for him. We were not... I wasn't made for myself. I was made for him. You were made for him, whether you believe or not. Whether you ever believe or not, you're made for him. You've been put into his hands. You're in his hands. He's not in our hands. We're in his hands. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And we learn this, that salvation, his salvation, is all of grace. This was impressed upon me not long ago so strongly. It just so strongly impressed upon me that when I die and I stand in glory, I stand in on that new earth and I stand in glory, I have nothing to do with it. I've known that for years. I've known that since I was about 22, 23 years of age. I've known that. But it was so impressed upon me. I have nothing, zero to do with me being there. I have everything to do with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father chose me. God the Son died for me. And the Holy Spirit came and applied it. Regenerated me and applied the blood of Christ. The righteousness of Christ. The whole Trinity involved in bringing me to glory. Christ being my surety is responsible for me. Does that not give you comfort? I'm not even responsible for myself. That's relief. There's no greater relief than to realize I ain't responsible for myself. Jesus Christ, God, is responsible to bring me home before and set me before God the Father without blame and without blemish. That's his responsibility. I have nothing to do with it. I'm there by grace. Grace. You know, it's funny how they call it sovereign grace, but it can't be, if it's grace, it can't be anything other. That's like saying water's wet. I mean, it can't be anything but wet if it's water. And if it's grace, it can't be anything but sovereign. It's sovereign grace. And he hath made us and not we ourselves. He made us a new creation. You know why you believe? Well, it's not because you and I are smarter than anybody else. You believe because you can't help it. God made you a believer. God made me a believer. I can't help but believe. I can't. I'd have to lie and say I don't, but I do. This means that he owns us lock, stock, and barrel. That's right. God owns me and everything about me. This body of mine, you know, it's finally dawned on me the reason I ought to take care of this body is not to live longer. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. This body is God's body. It's not my body. Oh, it's mine as far as using it, but is there anything that's yours? What do you have that you didn't receive? You've received everything. The reason to take care of yourself, the number one reason is because it belongs to God. I don't litter. I don't throw things out of the car and litter. Not because I'm afraid of being fined. This is God's earth. This is my Father's world. I'm not going to trash it up. That's the reason I mow my yard. Well, Johnny and them mow it most of the time. Johnny and Tommy mow it. I'm always about to take credit for something I don't do. Which is pretty common. But that's the reason why we have such... And you look, they keep that church, I mean, yard and my yard. I mean, it looks immaculate. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. Listen, we are His people. We are His in a special way. We're trophies of His grace. We're trophies of His grace. I was saying the other day, I had a lot of trophies from wrestling in high school. I couldn't tell you where any of them are. They're gone. Threw them away. I think Vicky threw them away on me. Because I asked her about them the other day. She said, I don't know where they went. You know, you can read each other when after 48 years. Yeah, right. Yeah. But anyway, those are meaningless. But you know, His trophies are eternal. And we are going to be displayed. Now, I'm telling you, in Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to be displayed as trophies of the grace of God forever and ever and ever. We are His people. Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I bought you. You're mine. You're a purchased people. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You know, it says that we are created for His glory. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. There is one holy nation on this earth. There is. It's called the church. It's not America. It's called the church. There's one holy nation. It's not over there in the Middle East. It's not that. There's no holy ground over there. There's not an ounce of holy ground. I heard a man bragging here not long ago to YMCA. He went over there. This guy's a preacher. He's bragging about how he was baptized in the Jordan River. So, what's your point? It's no more pure than the Cape Fear River, the Ohio River, the Mississippi River, or any other river. It's the river. There's a river that is pure, but it's in glory, that flows from the throne of God. But he took so much stock in that. And we are the sheep of His pasture. See, this is for the sheep. You know, He never calls His sheep goats. You never find in anywhere in the Word of God where He's turning goats into sheep. They're His sheep, and they've always been His sheep. Always. I can't explain this, but He has loved me with an everlasting love, and I've been His sheep forever. I don't know. I can't explain this. It's beyond me. Beyond me. But we're the sheep of His pasture. He takes care of us. He takes care of us. You know, I've said this to my wife. I said, if the Lord takes me before He does you, He'll take care of you. I said, your real husband will take care of you. If you always look to your real husband, you'll be all right. He's the real husband. You look to Him. He'll take care of us. He said, I'll carry you even to her hair. I was telling Vicky before I come over here, I said, man, my hair's getting gray. I was looking at Kevin, he's still dark. And I'm thinking, man, mine's... And look at Johnny's. He's whitewashed. He'll carry us. The shepherd, you know, we're not walking beside Him. He's carrying us. And what does He do with that sheep? He puts it on His shoulders. What's He do? carried home. The government's on his shoulder. All of his sheep are on his shoulder. He's carrying us home right now. He's carrying us. And he watches over us. I don't care how many locks you got on the door. It's not going to help you if he doesn't watch over us. It's not going to help. And the pasture is his. He leads us into green pasture. And those pastures are his word. Oh, what rich pastures the Lord's given us. Every day, when you get up, graze in his word. Graze in his word before you do anything else. He's given us green pasture. There's no dry weeds in this book. Green pastures. And he works all things for our eternal good, whether he's giving or whether he's taking. And it says here, enter in with thanksgiving, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name, but be thankful unto him. This is our attitude. This is to be our attitude. You know, and these are things also that we mature in. As we grow older in Christ, we do mature in thankfulness. You know, Paul said he learned in all things to be content. It's a learned behavior. Contentment is a learned behavior in Christ. We grow up spiritually in Christ, and we grow in thankfulness. I know we do, by God's grace. But this is our attitude, thankful. If we but consider what the Lord's done for us before we come here, we would come here ready to worship. A thankful heart's ready to worship. It is. And note the freeness of it here. He says, enter in. Oh, just enter in. Enter in with thankfulness and praise. And bless his name. Give him the glory. Give him the glory. That's what we're here for tonight. Give him the glory. Are you thankful the Lord saved you? I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. In whom I will, I harden. And he may do it in the same family. And oftentimes does. For the Lord is good. And I'm going to close. The Lord's good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. God, good is the character of God. He's good. He's good whether he's laying me in the dust or raising me up. He's good. Whether he's taken Job's 10 children or given 10 children back to him, he's good. God's good. Circumstances never change the character of God. They never change the character of God. The Lord's good. He's good. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy is unchanging. It's infinite. You know, everything about God is infinite, unmeasurable. Everything about God's infinite. And his truth endureth forever. His truth endureth to all generations. His truth. Here we are. 6,000 years. He said the seed of the woman. Going to bruise the serpent's head. He said Noah built an ark. That ark's Christ. Step by step by step. Every generation has had the truth. Since the fall. Every generation. Here we are, 6,000 years later, we got the truth. My soul. Lord, keep the truth here. Keep the truth here. Don't take it for granted. Don't take the mercy of God, the truth of God, the preaching of the gospel. Don't ever take it for granted. God is faithful to his word, faithful to his son, faithful to his people. And when you and I are gone from this earth, and in a little while, we will be. In a little while, we'll all be gone. It's a very short time. We all have a shelf life. Go to the grocery store, everything has a shelf life. We all have a time. Time to be born, time to die. And it's marked right down to the second. You can run and be healthy and all you want. You can die in an accident. But it won't be an accident you died. But his truth will endure forever. God, as long as God has sheep to bring into the fold, the gospel will be preached until he says time shall be no more. Now we have much to be thankful for. Lord, let us be a thankful people. All right.